360's The Week That Was, the most listened to hour in Territory Radio. The Territory leaders break down this week's big issues.
It is Friday morning. It is time for The Week That Was, proudly brought to you by BTC Constructions. And joining me in the studio this morning, the opposition leader, Leah Finocchiaro. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Sky News. But what exactly is your title, Matt Cunningham?
Oh, what do you do, Matt?
Man of many talents.
Sky News.
Mr. Sky News.
Yep, that's it. Thanks. Good morning, Katie.
We've got Terry Mills, the leader of Territory Alliance. Good morning.
Good morning, Katie.
And we've also got Natasha Files, the Health Minister and Attorney General.
Morning, Wolfie.
Well, anything happening in the next couple of weeks, guys? What's on the...
It's quite a quiet end to the dry
season. The Tigers
are
coming to Darwin to play footy, Wolfie. Well, I'm not even going to be able to go. I mean,
you'll
seriously.
Be covering
you
the election.
You should complain. I'm thinking about, to the government.
I'm thinking about resigning.
Well, I tell you what, we are certainly edging very close to the election. I believe it's about 16 days away. And we might start with these preferences. We're all wondering exactly where they are going to land, but the CLP has put their hearts on their sleeves, I guess you'd say, and is recommending that voters put Labor last on all of their how-to-vote papers for their territory election. That's what the CLP President Ron Kelly said yesterday. Leah, are you hoping to do a deal with Terry?
Look, we are very focused. Well, perhaps Terry can answer, but we're very focused. We have a very clear message for Territorians. To change the government, you need to vote for your local Country Liberal Party candidate and you need to put Labor last. Territorians are asking themselves, can we afford another 4 years of Labor? Our economy is the worst performing in the nation. Our debt is blown out beyond all proportion and crime continues to be a huge concern to people. So our message is clear. Put Labor last and vote one CLP.
Is part of your deal who's chief minister and who's deputy chief minister? You can reveal it all to us now.
What's your plan, Natasha? I know the Greens are upsetting you guys greatly at the moment.
Well, Labor seems to be out in the cold freeze with everybody.
No one wants to be your friend.
It's all good, Wolfie. We've got a strong team. We'll keep governing for Territorians.
Matt, what do you make of all of this?
Well, I think, we need to hear from the man who's sitting next to me. I mean, the question, Terry, is whether this is going to be...
The question
is whether this is going to be reciprocated.
Give him that mic. Here we go.
Silence.
I actually need a microphone to answer the question. Well, we're working through it, and it is, party business. And our objective has been plain and simple all the way along. We believe that there needs to be a change of government. And I find it curious that Natasha gets so... always jumps in and says, well, who's going to be the chief minister? So she's conceding defeat already.
Well, Terry,
don't worry about Natasha. We want to know what you're going to do. And a lot of people want to know what you're going to do and what your party's going to do. I mean, are you going to put...
Do you think that you're going to... when people go to make a decision at the polls, they're not going to be informed?
I think they're keen to find out. They should be informed.
And what they want to know from you and your party is... They will find out. The negotiations
are ongoing.
And is it going to be an across-the-board deal, or are you...
Unlike the CLP, remember what I've said, there needs to be a change of government. I believe Labor has need to move on.
Well, it would be an interesting way to try to change the government if you were going to preference Labor ahead of the CLP.
That's all very interesting, but...
What I need to say to you and
to anyone who's listening and is anxious about this, there's never been a three-way split before, and so that's why it's particularly interesting. However, Territory Alliance has an approach where we respect our candidates and the candidates are involved in that decision-making process. So it's not as autocratic as the other two parties.
So the candidates can put whoever they want on their ballot paper.
We respect the democratic process and those candidates are involved in the decision. Those candidates are involved in that decision. So,
but thinking about this quite logically, because I think that all three of you would like our listeners to think, all right, well, preferences don't matter. But they do matter. And Terry, you know that from the last election. I mean, the preferences have a big part to play. And the way in which those preferences flow could mean, that Labor retains a seat or that they lose one. And it's an incredibly important thing to actually determine and to make sure that everybody out there who is going to be voting is aware of exactly, you know, where you're going to put those preferences. So I think, well, you know, good on the CLP. They've made a bold move in terms of saying that they will put Labor last, because
Dave Tollner won't be happy.
Well, as we heard about earlier in the week, you know, we spoke to Dave Tollner and Damien Hale about this on The Big Issues, and they both, you know, made the point that realistically it could potentially be more stable, you know, if Labor and the CLP had preferenced each other. I think that would have been a really bitter pill to swallow for a lot of Conservative voters for the CLP to have preferenced the Labor Party. I mean, it would have been really difficult to try and get your voter base to actually agree to that.
Well, it also would have been really hard to run a campaign saying, get rid of this government that we don't think is any good.
But we'll put
doing
them
a
second.
Preference deal that was almost going to ensure them victory.
That's exactly right. But I think the big thing is here, you know, Terry, is that people are really, they are waiting to see what Territory Alliance is going to do. And you know...
And that same thing applies to Territory Alliance. I mean, Terry, you're going around saying this is a bad government and needs to be removed.
Yeah.
And if you do a preference deal that then... basically gives them a better chance of staying in, people are going to be asking the same question of your party.
Yeah, there's a lot of ifs and possibilities here.
Not much time left.
There's 2 weeks, but I think we'll be bringing it to land very shortly. Don't you worry about it. All these questions will be answered. All will be revealed.
You're keeping people hanging on,
mm-hmm.
and they are waiting to see exactly what you're going to do. Is it going to be a situation where seat by seat each candidate gets to determine who they preference? I mean, Jeff Collins has come out today or yesterday, I think, and told media that he's going to preference Amy Un second, I believe. So is it going to be a seat-by-seat thing, or is it going to be across the board?
Well, I've said that we pay respect to each of our candidates. We all share a common objective, and we're involving those candidates in those decisions. And all will be revealed. The objective is clear, and how we're going to achieve that objective will be made plain to Territorians. But remember, a preference arrangement is really something for parties to sort out. But I would be urging Territorians to make their own decision, because that's just a guide. And I would encourage Territorians to recognise that they actually are able to decide whichever way they want to go.
So if the ultimate, you know, the ultimate thing that that both the CLP and Territory Alliance want to do is get rid of Territory Labor or the ALP, then surely you're going to preference each other.
That sounds pretty logical, doesn't it?
Oh, that's a yes. You got there eventually. It took a while.
So, Terry,
mark it down.
I mean, it does sound very logical to me. I sort of think to myself, I'm surprised.
I've said the same thing all the way through, and I don't know why people are getting so concerned about this. I'm just saying that there is a different approach.
No, Terry, you've been speaking in riddles. All you have to do is say, we're
going to
Labor last.
We've got a slightly different approach here, and I pay respect to the approach that we're taking out of respect for our candidates. And I'm not going to just jump over the top like the other two are able to declare, and the candidates. I've spoken to CLP candidates, and they say they have no say whatsoever in the decisions that are made.
Honestly, Terry.
As a voter, I think to myself, I would prefer the straightforward approach. I would prefer to know exactly where you stand on something, so that then it's up to me who I vote for and which way, whether I choose to go with the preferences that you want, you know, to flow in that way, or whether I preference myself.
But it sends a clear message, you know, like parties have to do their how to vote card, and it sends a message about the way in which, you know, you should be encouraged to vote if you want a certain outcome. We're very clear in our approach. People, if you want a change of government, if Territorians want a better economy, if they want jobs now and for the future, if they want crime under control, then they've got to vote one for CLP and put Labor last, because this government has damaged the Territory almost beyond repair, and we cannot suffer through 4 more years of economic and fiscal recklessness and mismanagement.
Why was
your position different at the Johnston by-election?
Well, that was an isolated by-election. This is going to change the government. This is a whole of territory election that is going to change the government. We're really focused on the future. I mean, earlier, earlier this week, I hosted a roundtable with Deputy Prime Minister Michael McCormack and business leaders and industry leaders around what we can do to ensure growth into the future. I mean, ultimately, Territorians are very concerned about COVID, of course, but we are going to have to deal with COVID for a long, long time. What we need to deal with now is our debt and our economy.
One of the questions when you talk about growth. I mean, a lot of the economic growth is being pinned on the onshore gas industry. Are you not putting that in jeopardy by preferencing a party that doesn't support the onshore gas industry?
Well, that's why we're very clear to Territorians. The only choice this election, the only party that has a comprehensive economic plan, a plan to tackle crime, is the Country Liberal Party. My team...
No, we're talking about the economy.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I'm saying...
And Labor has a plan to support the onshore gas industry. So
We have a full economic plan that is going to provide growth for all Territorians and jobs into the future. And that's why people should vote one CLP, because we are the only party with a credible team with a comprehensive plan to secure our future and build a better territory.
Should Territorians be concerned that post the election we could get in a situation, though, Leah, where you're in some kind of, you know, neither the CLP or Territory Alliance gets enough seats in its own right to govern, but between them they get enough seats, they have to go into some kind of coalition, and as a result of that, the onshore gas industry gets stopped, because that's clearly what Territory Alliance's position is. I mean, is the future of the onshore gas industry secure under a CLP/Territory Alliance coalition?
The future of our onshore gas industry is secure under the Country Liberal Party. We have always backed a robust onshore gas industry. We have always said we would implement the 135 Pepper Inquiry recommendations. But our future is not just hinged on gas. We have an abundance of economic strengths that we can be playing
to. Would
you be
willing to go into a coalition with Territory Alliance if it was conditional on a ban on fracking?
Look, I'm not going to deal in hypotheticals. That's why it's so important.
Well, it's a pretty big hypothetical
and Territorians will cast their vote and decide. But ultimately, we need a majority Country Liberal Party government. And that's why backing my team, who've got the experience, the skills, the skin in the game, the passion and commitment, backed by a comprehensive plan, will get this done.
All right, we've heard we do have a message here. It says, if Territory Alliance and the CLP do not preference each other, it will show they have no concern for the Territory but themselves.
Well, we've put Labor last.
I've got a message here that says the Territory Alliance will preference the CLP in up to 20 seats. Is that right, Terry?
Yep.
There you go.
Terry, why don't you be up front and just, you know, we know that the voting starts on Monday. How the vote cards are going to print. You just need to be up front with people. People need to know this.
We are in the process of engaging each of those candidates. And
it's not like the election date's been a secret. It's a fixed 4-year term. We've known for the past many months that we've got an election date. The how to vote cards are going to print right now. Tell Territorians what deals you're doing with the CLP.
Don't tell me what to do. Number one, I've said it again, that we must engage with all of our candidates.
But you've had the time to do it.
No, only yesterday we had the ballot draw.
The ballot draw's rubbish. That just shows where people sit on the ballot paper. You've had time to work out what deal you're going to do with the CLP.
Natasha,
and what you're showing is you're not fit to govern.
I was there yesterday and there were candidates that appeared that nobody had any idea that they were actually going to be on the ballot paper.
The reality with the Territory election is that it will be between Labor, CLP and Territory Alliance. Territorians deserve to know what you're doing, what deal you're doing with the CLP to get their preferences.
What Territorians deserve is someone who's going to pay respect to them. If a person steps up and says that they want to be a candidate, you've got to pay respect to them and all those who have an interest in serving the democratic process in the Northern Territory.
Terry, are there members of the CLP? Are there members of Territory Alliance who don't want to do a deal with the CLP because of their stance on fracking?
I don't believe so.
Matt's been waiting to get in there with the mic.
Confirmed the 20 seats. I just want to get an idea of where they might be and what the... Court Darwin, for instance, right, which is a clear three-way seat. Right? Yep. There's, you know, your own polling says that three candidates are on about between 25 and 30%. Yeah. Are you going to preference... You say, yes, 20 seats. Are you going to preference the CLP or Labor in Port Darwin?
These are decisions that have not been finalised.
You need to hurry up. Time's ticking.
Have not been concluded. That's what I understand.
Ooh, we can beat on the 20 seats.
These are negotiations that are in play, and out of respect, and I'll say it for the third time, I need to wait until it has been concluded, and then there will be a revelation.
Before you move that microphone, you do only have 20 candidates running, though, don't you?
No, I think we've got 22.
Okay. Which are the two seats?
Jeff is going to preference Amy Un first, is that right? and then look, not sure what's going to happen with the
other? I've been attending to my business. And
but you're the leader of Territory Alliance. Yes, this is the yes, leader's
so,
business.
So's Leah, and, you know, the head of CLP.
She said she's been very clear. Yeah,
because it's such an autocratic approach.
You just get you, and they Terry, don't have you to mind your own business. You worry about your backyard. Our backyard is sorted.
You two will make a great team.
CLP won, Labour last.
Okay.
Hang on.
One last question. Go.
The Greens have done a deal in
Nightcliff. Yes.
So in terms of the Labor Party, the majority of our seats, the preferences won't matter. There is some seats where we certainly acknowledge the preferences will be important. In terms of the environment, we've got a strong track record on delivering. There are people that are concerned around the issue of hydraulic fracturing, but we will be preferencing in Nightcliff the Greens because they're the party after us that next has the closest values, I believe, to what we want to achieve. We are a progressive government. We've seen huge law reform change. We care about the environment, care about jobs.
Written and authorised.
Concerned that you've been put out in the cold or in the deep freeze, you'd say, by the other political parties?
I think what it highlights is that we're a government that is caring for all Territorians.
Is it a government that's divisive?
No.
It doesn't highlight that? That,
no,
you know, not even
Katie,
the Greens want to do a deal with you?
I think what it shows is that there's only one clear choice for Territorians through the coronavirus, through the economic recovery, through caring for the environment, through investing in health and education that we need going forward.
360's The Week That Was for BTC Constructions.
It is The Week That Was, and I have got Leah Finocchiaro, Matt Cunningham, Terry Mills and Natasha Files in the studio with me. Now, gee, there is a lot to cover off, but we might stay on the election, hey, and talk about policies. Because there have been quite a number of policy announcements come out this week. The CLP have announced a few different initiatives, as has Territory Alliance. But what I've noticed is that the Labor Party hasn't.
Wolfie, I don't know. We've had policies on water, Gamba, climate change and offsets, tourism, wreck fishing.
Nothing on the economy, nothing on crime.
We've put out quite a few policies. We're the government. I mean, this is a clear choice, this election, between change.
I haven't seen them.
I haven't seen them either. Maybe
we'll make sure you're
removed from the mailing
list.
It's very possible. You don't get invited to press conferences anymore, do you?
No.
Territories have got a clear choice this election between steady, stable government that's protected Territorians that will rebuild the economy, or these two that can't even work out their preference deal.
Interesting. I think what I've been really fascinated by is the Labor Party's campaign in the lead into the election. I've never seen anything quite like it. It certainly seems to me as though the idea is be quiet. Don't go out there and make any big announcements. Certainly don't draw attention to things like youth crime. Just sort of try to keep working. And I understand that you are all out in your electorates. But I haven't really seen anything like it in terms of there not being those rolling announcements sort of coming out each day when we're 2 weeks out from the election. Is it going to start happening?
Well, Katie, we've released a community safety policy. So I think that it's...
When did you release that?
That was just in the last few weeks. The community safety policy went out.
What was it? I didn't see.
We really need to make sure you guys are on the
money.
Some story about making kids clean up graffiti, some kind of, pretend tough on crime thing that was in the paper.
You'd have to say that I am, in terms of a Territorian, you'd have to say that I'm somebody who consumes more news and politics, I think, than the average person. And if I don't know about it, I don't know how an average person does.
Look, the government has no record to defend, and that's why we're not hearing from them. That's why Chief Minister Michael Gunner has been in hiding. He won't do press conferences outside the Parliament House bunker. He won't come out and debate me. I'm thrilled we've got the one on Monday, Katie, but today another one, Mining Club Lunch. He's not appearing at that, and it's because they have no record to defend. It is indefensible, a worst-performing economy in the nation pre-COVID, 11,000 jobs lost pre-COVID, crime out of control pre-COVID. I mean, it's little wonder they're not coming out and defending it, because you can't. And that's why we have a comprehensive plan to get the territory growing again.
Look, I'm not going to let you off easily either, Leah, or you, Terry. I will get to your policies as well. Falsey, is it a tact here where really the Chief Minister is just banking on the way that he's managed COVID as being his policy platform 2 weeks out from the election?
Katie, Territorians have a clear choice this election between change, the uncertainty.
Hang on, I'll go back to my question. Is that his policy platform?
Right now, we're in the middle of a coronavirus pandemic, Katie, and we have been dealing with that. These in this room would have opened our borders, putting our health and safety at risk. Territorians right now, they want stability. They don't want to go back to the old days of the CLP where they didn't know which scandal was going to be plagued by which minister. People need that stability, but we've absolutely rolled out policies. You'll see a continuation of the work that we've done. There's more work to do.
I'd be really interested to hear from our listeners this morning. Send us a text if you'd like and let us know whether you're aware of Labor's policy, 0418 957 369. Terry, you looked like you were ready to say something there.
I'm not going to spout an ad. I'm going to make an observation. I'm aware of what polling is suggesting, and I'm certain that Labor also have read that polling. They know that there are two options for them. One is to come out and provide a bold vision for the future, or to retreat and loiter around the anxiety and fear that people have around the COVID crisis. And it appears that that's the option that they've chosen. And that explains why the Chief Minister's created the impression, notwithstanding no parliamentary sittings, created the impression that we're going to get a good look at the books before we made this decision. He was asked to extend the date so that at least Territorians would know exactly what we are deciding on. He's chosen not to do that. To go to the polls August the 22nd, has not revealed the books, has retreated from exposure and accountability, and is making sure that he's going to pitch towards the concerns around coronavirus. But I think it's a very risky manoeuvre for Labor, because Territorians are not to be taken for fools. They know we're headed for trouble. They know when JobSeeker ends. They know that what we are left with is going to require a different approach. And Labor, I think, is in a very, very risky manoeuvre.
Can I just address this coronavirus issue? Because, of course, we are in a global pandemic. And this government is choosing to do two things this election. Scaremonger people about what the coronavirus response would...
You said you'd open the borders on June 22nd. What would that have done to Territorians?
I think your response right now... it reaffirms what I'm about to say. So you're scaremongering about what response would have been under a different government or going forward
you
with a different government.
If I was the Chief Minister, I would open the borders. Territorians have to understand the point of difference. Okay, that's what an election's about.
So this is where you guys are very sensitive. Let's make it very clear. The Chief Minister followed the lead of Prime Minister Scott Morrison, the federal government and the national cabinet and the national health advice and the territory health advice. Any government would do the same thing. He has followed that lead, followed that advice and would do so appropriately. If that was my government, I would have done the same, made the same decisions.
You said you'd open the borders on June 22nd.
You're very sensitive about this because what I'm saying is true. When I came out and said...
The national cabinet wasn't to close the borders. Paul Kelly, the deputy chief medical officer, even said so, that there was no advice from him
and,
to close the
and
borders,
the Chief Minister then followed the territory health advice, so it's a culmination of advices at two levels.
The Chief Minister led on this issue.
That's right, you do. But when I said we would have opened the borders, that would still have been with the hotspot response.
You did not say that at the time. The Chief Minister led on keeping our borders closed and keeping Territorians
safe.
And
your sensitivity to me explaining this position clearly shows just how fragile you are. You guys are trying to dig yourselves some sort of scaremonger campaign around coronavirus. The reality is the response would have been the same. Your response to this and using it as an election tool is outrageous.
I don't remember you talking about the hotspots when you said you would open the borders.
I said very clearly around having those measures at the borders, and hotspot responses was always going to be the way that governments would have to deal with this issue once borders opened.
All right. I want to continue to talk about, we will go to those hotspots in just a couple of moments, because I do want to talk about the fact that the Brisbane border is closed and see whether we're going to have some movement there. Before we do that, though, I want to talk a little bit more about some of the policy announcements that have come out this week. Terry, I know that you and I spoke a little earlier this week about making pollies and staff more accountable and spoke about you know, your policy that would see that, that staffers and ministers are forced to reveal how much they've spent on official travel, credit cards and mobile phones at the end of each month. You know, it sounds to me like a good policy in terms of openness and transparency. Unfortunately, our discussion about that the other day was taken over by fracking after the open letter that I was sent by Mark Fraser. You know, the fracking thing, it does continue to come up, and certainly there are still people out in the community who feel pretty concerned, I think, more so business people. I know that there's certainly people who are concerned about fracking when you talk about the environmental side of things, but there are a lot of business people as well who are saying, well, you know, I thought I was going to vote for Terry until he changed his mind on fracking.
Sure, but I lead a party that has gauged the view of the community on this matter. And my principal position is this, that we've had a very, very large project that a previous government under Henderson became the cheer squad for, which is INPEX. But I believe they failed to do the things that were necessary to prepare the way for INPEX in terms of land release and the like. I fear that we're going to have the same kind of situation repeated, where we put all of our hope in something that's over the horizon and don't do the necessary heavy lifting regarding agriculture and mining. It's simply a pivot to attend to the things that are closer to hand, that are far more immediate, and have a government that has political will to clear those roadblocks. And I think that will create the diversity that's necessary.
Sounds like you're changing your policy again. Now that's the most bizarre response I've heard, going back to blaming INPEX.
You had trouble following that. There's a lot of people out there who saw that INPEX as a project being an excellent project was poorly managed, I believe, by the previous Labor government. The expectations were raised to the extent that they cheered for INPEX, but they never did the work necessary to release the land. You remember,
so that's your reason for not supporting the 135 recommendations of an independent scientific inquiry?
Are you having trouble following the logic here? What we have is a territory and a territory government that has always put its hope in the next big project, when right in front of us for 20 years we've got resources right across the territory that governments, CLP and ALP, have not applied the necessary political will to get our mining sector.
Why does it have to be exclusive, Terry? Why can't we realise all of our opportunities? Because that's what the CLP's focused on. We recognise we have a tremendous opportunity with agriculture and horticulture, with mining, onshore gas, cattle industry, energy, solar, renewables. It's important for governments to set the regulatory framework that encourages private sector investment and growth across a range of industries, because that is how you get true diversification and stability and long-term growth in your economy. Your position on gas is untenable. It's confusing for people, and it sends a very clear signal to all other industries that they cannot rely on you to back them when things get tough, and that they don't know where your party is going to land on all industries because you change your mind continuously.
Well, I don't think Territorians would take that view. That's a political assessment to advantage your position. But the fact is that we've had the same sort of messages provided to the territory community for the last 20 years, and we've seen no progress at all on the real work around the agriculture sector, around horticulture, around water security, and about getting our mining sector moving. You only have to look at Western Australia, the most efficient jurisdiction for attraction of investment. We've got a vast resource here in the territory, and we're 13th internationally. That has to change, and I think that's the first project of a territory government.
Matt, anything you want to ask? I can see you sitting there without a microphone, mate.
I was just a bit curious because Terry was talking about the Henderson government and its failure to plan properly for INPEX, and obviously Delia Laurie, who's a senior policy advisor for you now, was part of that government. And I'm curious about a policy you've announced this morning, a shared equity fund. Now, this was a Labor Party policy before the 2012 election. You'll remember at the time, Wolfie, that one of the biggest issues in Darwin at that time was how expensive housing was. Mm-hmm. No one could get into the housing market because it cost so much. Mm. Labor, on the eve of that election, put up this idea that the government would buy in, they would fund in a shared equity program, basically stump up for 30% to 50% of the deposit of the home, right? Thank God that didn't happen, because we've seen that housing market crash in Palmerston. The government would have been on the hook for a hell of a lot of money. People also would have been on the hook because they would have bought into houses that they really couldn't afford.
Yep.
And now I see that Territory Alliance has recycled this policy this morning and is announcing it again. I just don't understand, Terry, the logic behind that.
Two mics there.
These are very different times, and the need for targeted stimulus. We've got to be able to get the housing market moving again. How are we going to get out of this? And you know that the scenario prior COVID and the economic collapse across the Northern Territory and nationally requires a different approach. You only have to look at any commentary from any serious economic analyst says that we have to get the housing market moving again. We have to instill confidence in the marketplace. And these are unusual times and require such measures. So because somebody had a view at another time, Territory Alliance has the capacity to weigh these matters up and make decisions.
Look, the thing that I think I'm struggling with a little bit this week is that obviously the policy or the platform of the CLP and Territory Alliance is how badly the Labor Party has managed the books in terms of, you know, as far as both of your parties are concerned. But, you know, Leah, even this week you then announced the solar announcement, which is certainly one which is headline grabbing, and people would be pleased to hear that if businesses or homes install those solar rooftop batteries, you'll basically be getting that incentive will go from $6,000 to $12,000. So, it's, you know, you're trying to get things moving in that area, get people onto solar. Look, the worry that I've got with that announcement, I'll go to first, is that from my understanding, we're in a situation in the Northern Territory where our system, power and water system, won't be able to handle it. If we end up with a lot more people that are on solar, we're not going to be able to handle the system's simply not going to be able to handle it. We're going to end up with blackouts. But in addition to that, you know, we're then obviously going to have to upgrade the system so that you are able to, you know, you're able to have everybody on their rooftop solar. Where's the money coming from? Like, there's sort of good announcements, I guess, to people in terms of grabbing headlines, a bit like the one this morning, Terry, with the equity in terms of, in terms of getting a home loan. They're good announcements, but I think, you know, you're going on and on about this mob not being able to...
Let me explain it. I'm very happy to explain it. So what the government have done is come out with a pot of money and a $6,000 battery incentive. What we are saying is we would double the incentive from $6,000 to $12,000 with the same pot of money, because what we want to do is we've recognised that $6,000 doesn't come close to covering the cost of a battery. And we know batteries mean it will not only drive down the price of power for those people who are fortunate to have rooftop solar, but it creates stability, because when they come home at night after work or picking the kids up...
It won't drive it down for them. It'll drive it up, and that's half the problem, because once you put the battery in, you lose your renewable, your generous feeding tariff. This whole policy area is an absolute disaster. I was alarmed to hear Leah say this week that the CLP supports a 50% renewable energy target. Listen to the Utilities Commissioner. The Utilities Commissioner's report that came out only about 6 weeks ago that passed without anyone taking any notice. Listen to this, Katie. The Commission with the Australian Energy Market Operator found during an initial modelling of an updated 50% renewable energy target scenario to more closely align to the government's renewable energy target than in previous years, it was extremely challenging, if not unrealistic, for the Territory to source 50% of its electricity consumption in the three regulated systems from renewable energy sources, relying on solar PV and battery storage alone. It goes on to say, Wolfie, that it can possibly be done. It is possible. Mm. But it says two things. One, it's complex, and two, it's expensive. Yeah. And no one, Labor won't tell you how much it's going to cost, the CLP won't tell you how much it's going to cost. The whole thing's a total mess. We're at real risk of blackouts,
and
neither party is going
to
do anything about it.
Well, let me just say, we have a comprehensive... It's not individual policies that we have on this point. It's comprehensive. So let me start from the start. If we can get people with solar on their roof to be on batteries, that will provide stability for themselves. So if there is a power outage, they're going to be okay. And of course, then stability in the grid. If we get stability in the grid, we can run more efficient generation and drive down prices.
And how are you going to get stability in the grid?
Well,
with a 50% renewable energy target.
So we've always said...
The Utilities Commission is looking at 16% at the moment.
Well, let me continue.
We're heading for a disaster.
Let me continue. continue. The Australian Energy Regulator has said that power and water can run more efficiently by 10%, which will also drive down prices by about $225 a year. We have said we would task the Utilities Commission to conduct a full cost-benefit analysis on linking the Darwin-Katherine, Tennant Creek and Alice Springs grid again to provide that stability and allow us to run our generation much more efficiently.
It's going to cost a hell of a lot of money.
But that's why we're doing the study.
We're freezing power prices for 4 years.
Excuse me.
How can you possibly...
Getting the Utilities Commission
to... What's going to happen to the budget bottom line? If you freeze power prices for 4 years, you spend a gazillion dollars upgrading the grid. I mean, how large is our debt going to be in 4 years' time if this is the policy?
Can I just say, we need to do the work. No one has done the work.
You're right.
And if we don't, and that is what we're saying we will do.
You say we support a 50% renewable energy target.
We support a 50% renewable energy target so long as it doesn't impact stability, reliability, and affordability. And we will do the work, Matt. No one has done the work. No one has done the work.
So why are you supporting a policy that's been done without the work?
So we are going to do the work, get the Utilities Commission, who is... Well, I'd love to be the government, and I would have done that work 4 years ago, Matt, but unfortunately we have a bad Labor government who've done nothing but destroy our economy, blow our budget, and leave us in this precarious situation when we have 11,000 less jobs.
I do think we need to
keep
Labor as well,
territorians
here.
What
the cost is going to be of providing those upgrades. It's their original policy. They went to it in 2016. I don't know how they came up with it, except to say that they probably borrowed it off the shelf from another state.
And theirs is isolated. Ours has the wraparound policies to support the overarching objectives. Labor's is isolated. They haven't done the extra work that we have around the batteries, around linking the grids, and around ensuring we've got secure prices for Territorians for 4 years.
So we've done an enormous amount of work in this space. Dale Wakeford, as the Minister responsible, and acknowledging renewables, we do acknowledge that the grid and instability as more and more people shift to solar, and we need to make sure that we've got that stable supply.
Do you acknowledge the Utility Commissioner's view that 50% renewable energy is extremely challenging, if not unrealistic?
We acknowledge that view, but we need to make sure that we can get to that target because it's important, at the same time providing stability.
And do you acknowledge that getting to that target, as the Utilities Commissioner says, is going to be incredibly expensive?
I think we need to acknowledge in the Northern Territory that the Territorians want to shift to renewable energy.
Do you acknowledge that it's going to be expensive? Because all I see in these social media feeds is this garbage that we're talking about cheaper, cleaner, renewable energy. How could it be cheaper if you've got
to
spend all of this money?
It's a big point to make.
And we want to know how much money it is.
Everybody's environmentally conscious. Everybody wants to make sure that we're doing the right thing. Everybody would love to have 50% renewables, but you've got to be honest with people about how much it's going to cost. And I think it's a really tricky scenario that, Leah, you've gotten yourself into making that announcement. And Filesy, you guys have already gotten yourself in this situation, but you've got to tell people how much it's going to cost to be able to get to 50% renewables by 2030. You know, you can't just sort of come out and say, we're going to do this. It is going to cost a heck of a lot of money to upgrade the system for power and water.
Part of what our policy is also to task the Utilities Commission to advise government on that appropriate
mix.
That's
a good policy. I just don't understand why the 50% comes before that work being done.
Because with a suite of measures, we have to have a target.
No, we don't.
Have to be working towards something.
We can just say we'll put as much renewable energy into the grid as is possible without the lights going out. Why do we have to have a number?
I think Territorians want to know that there is work towards driving down the price of electricity, increasing stability.
It's driving up the price of electricity.
All right.
360's The Week That Was for BTC Constructions.
Well, it is about 12 minutes away from 10 o'clock. We're running a little bit over time. Goodness knows why. We haven't even spoken that much.
We're just warming up.
Let's talk about the borders. We've obviously been discussing this a little bit already. I know I've had quite a few people ask me, Wolfie, what's the go with us being closed off to Brisbane? Are they going to continue to keep Brisbane a hotspot when they seem to have contained things fairly well? Filesy, are you keeping a close eye on Brisbane at this point in time?
Yeah, the Chief Health Officer is participating in AHPPC in the next little while, and he'll provide advice to the Chief Minister this afternoon. Obviously, it was really disappointing to see those women go into Queensland and potentially put that community at risk. And so it's identifying, is this a cluster, which means a number of cases in one area, or is it broader community transmission, which is what you've seen shift in Victoria and in certain areas of New South Wales. So it's incredibly complex, and we'll listen to that advice.
You say there'll be a meeting in the next little while. Is that sort of in the next couple of hours, next couple of days? What's a little while?
Next couple of hours, Katie.
Okay. I know that the borders have become a bit of a political political hot topic, and we spoke about that briefly before. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, Leah, you do make a point that I agree with, and that is that you do have to take the advice of the health officials. There's no doubt about that. They're the ones who are well-equipped and educated in this space, and we all are keeping a very close eye on the different things, the different advice that they're giving at each and every point in time when they're out.
My son just went across to Brisbane for a quick trip.
Yeah.
And whilst he was there, decided he would loiter for a little bit, and it became a hotspot. So he's had to drive all the way slowly back the 14 days. And so I was watching the report on what the Chief Minister is considering today regarding Brisbane. I support what the position that's been taken there, and I think that's quite wise. So it's a 14-day cycle to make sure that that's clear, and then people have some confidence. So I think it's
fair enough.
Fair enough. Yeah.
What's happening with the supercars though, Natasha? Like what went wrong in the process there?
So in terms of the supercars, my understanding is that some of those supercar team members had been in the hotspot, and so they have deferred that until next weekend.
But are they having to do the 14-day quarantine?
Or is it less?
So in terms of the supercars, and the same's happening with the AFL, they're operating within bubbles and they're in alternate quarantine. So they're quarantining together, even for those people that haven't come out of hotspot areas, so that there's those measures in place as part of their COVID management plans.
So how come there's two different class of quarantine? How come some people can quarantine in a hotel and other people have to go out to Howard Springs?
So in terms of the supercars, they're operating within a bubble themselves. So people are quarantining where they don't even need to quarantine. And so this, I guess, is stepping forward into the new normal. So domestic travel isn't what it used to be. And these big organisations that are investing so much, the supercars,
but
the AFL.
But if you're a sports star, do you get to quarantine in a hotel?
No,
what you're asking, Matt?
Is they're operating within bubbles. So you've got the AFL on the Gold Coast that are operating in a bubble, apart from a few people that...
Yeah, I understand that, supercars people had been in the hotspot. And so anyone, like some of them had been in a hotspot, and anyone from a hotspot supposed to be in 14 days mandatory quarantine at their own expense at Howard Springs.
So in terms of
but not for the supercars.
Quarantine, everyone's quarantining at Howard Springs or Alice Springs. There is some alternate quarantine. I'm not sure exactly if the people from the supercars are yet to arrive in the territory that have been in the hotspots or not. I would have to get clarification on that. But the supercars unit as a whole, so the multiple teams, they are keeping themselves in a bubble also while they're here.
360's The Week That Was for BTC Constructions.
Well, I tell you what, we've only got a couple of minutes left. It is The Week That Was, and Leah Finocchiaro, Matt Cunningham, Terry Mills and Natasha Files are in the studio with me. There's never enough time, but don't worry, we'll be back again on Monday morning for the Mix 104.9 election leaders debate.
How are you going to ensure the Chief Minister comes, Katie?
Well, he better be here.
He hasn't come to anything yet. He's in lockdown.
Well, Farsi will turn up if we need her.
No, I've got a school assembly.
He'll be here. If, you know, he's a man of his word, I'm sure. So I'm sure he'll turn up. There's no doubt about that. I've been in contact with his media advisor. I saw him yesterday. So he was leaving the other studio here. So he will be here.
Good. Because, you know, Territorians really want to know what this government's plan is for jobs for the future. I mean, they've been very silent on that issue. We've been very clear and focused on growing the economy, that the private sector are going to be the ones who get us out of this mess that Gunner has put us in.
Great to
challenge him on Monday on what his plan is, because certainly they haven't got one.
Well, you know what? You're all going to... Maddie Hepworth is going to be our timekeeper, and he's going to have a buzzer. And
we need Jerry Wood's bell. We need Jerry Wood's bell.
Well, Jerry, if you're listening and you want to come in and
drop the bell off.
Yeah, he can come in and timekeep for us. I'd trust Jerry to do that as well.
You know, Jerry's final edition of his newsletter has come out this week, and I think everyone should get a copy because it is spectacular. You know, it is the gold star, gold standard for every other politician.
What's he saying there?
Well,
it's enormous.
It's about 40 pages. It contains a photograph of just about everyone in his electorate, and no photographs of himself. Yeah. I mean, it is the ultimate. So go out and get your copy of
Nelson Notes. Good on him. I'm sure he's out there listening. Well, we better wrap up. Leah Finocchiaro, opposition leader, always good to catch up with you.
See you Monday. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Matt Cunningham, we might catch up with you on Monday. We might do Inside the Polls if Kathleen Gazzola is available as well after 10 o'clock, eh? Lock it in. See how you go.
Yeah, see you there.
then.
He's thrilled about
Terry Mills, the leader of Territory Alliance. Thank you for your time,
Katie,
this morning.
I'll see you Monday.
See you Monday. We'll also see you at lunchtime as well for the Minerals Council debate.
Right.
And Natasha,
do you want to talk to me Monday?
you might have to stump up when he bails, Tash, so be ready.
Always good to have you in the studio.
Thanks, Wolfie.
We'll see you again soon. You are listening to Mix 104.9.